Welcome to Board Game Binge, the place where we bring you bite-sized, bingeable board game content across the industry. I'm your host, James Staley, and in this episode, we're chatting with Cameron Duker, designer of Redline Heyday, a mech-based, expandable, tactical card game. The newest campaign for Redline is currently on Kickstarter. Cameron, welcome to the binge. How you doing, sir?
James, I'm great. That's a great intro, man. Appreciate it so much. Happy to be here.
Nothing but the best for you, sir.
Awesome. Let's go.
So we've never met. So this is exciting. I always love meeting new people. One thing I often do, and my audience probably doesn't realize, is I go through Kickstarter on a weekly basis. And I look for cool projects, things that I'm like, that seems kind of a little interesting. I'd like to talk to that person about that. And I reach out to the different creators, and thankfully you're able to respond back. But anytime I see something that has mechs in it, I'm in. And I try to stay away from RPG. I know I should do a little bit more RPG on this podcast, but yours was an RPG. Yours was more of a tactical kind of back and forth card game, which I thought was like super cool. And that's why I reached out to you. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the podcast and talk about it. We're going to get into the campaign in a little bit. But first, I want to go through your story, because I was going back through the history of your different campaigns you've run. And it's so cool to see when someone has, A, not made it, right? But then pick up, kind of dust themselves off and take another crack at it, and then see them then be successful. To me, that's the story I love to hear and I love to tell. And certainly that's going to be some of the story we're going to tell today. So let's start off. When did you first get into kind of gaming? Like how long ago, like how long have you been doing this for?
Oh, like playing games?
Yeah.
Gamer? Oh man. Since I was junior high, and this fits, but my neighbor next door, we're still friends. He had BattleTech. This is back in the 90s. Yeah. I'm a 90s kid. Come over my house, and I kind of knew mechs from like anime, and I was aware of like Robotech and Transformers, whatever. Came over, we got some sheets, we played on his like kitchen table. I remember it was a glass table. Shadowhawk 2C was my very first mech because it looked cool in like the instruction book. I got head caps probably like two turns in, instant death, loved it. Ran back home to my dad, I'm like, we got to get this box game. And like, what, it's not a video game? I'm like, no, it's, you do math and there's like sheets of paper, you'll love it. Okay, God bless dad. He took me to the comic shop next day, bought a box for me and my brothers, and I was off to the races. So that was probably my first experience back in junior high, and was hooked ever since.
Now, is like game designing as a whole, is it always kind of in your mind been focused around like mechs and things like that, or did you ever take a crack at other genres or other types of game styles?
I mean, maybe like growing up, tried to like Rifts, you know, if you remember Rifts or know of Rifts, right? Like doing my own little maybe campaigns, or I actually tried to like merge Rifts and BattleTech systems combined. It doesn't fit very well if you know those two properties, but try to do like a little map based miniatures Rifts thing with Mega Damage. Good luck with that, if you know what that is. Anyway, so I mean, maybe dabbling a little on, but no, I'm a mech head through and through. And so when, you know, if you're going to make something, make it cool. And there's not much cooler than mechs.
Oh, wow. So in terms of game design, in your mind, it's always been, I'm going down the mech path. That's the path I'm going to go down. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I need to keep myself interested. I need to do something I think is cool. Yeah. And so, you know, do what you love and love what you do, I guess.
And when did you do your first like mech design? Was it Redline, or was it another kind of mech thing, or like when did this kind
of start? No, it was Redline. So the origin for the game is, this is going to be a little twisted, but bear with me here. I had started playing X-Wing miniatures, if you're familiar with that game, and really, again, kind of like fell in love with like the ship customization and the map with the like hidden movement with the dials and stuff, and like really wanted to like play, but didn't have a lot of money to invest in it at the time. It's kind of pricey with the miniatures and stuff, and I was like, okay, well, there's, you know, on my phone, there's probably something out there similar with the free movement and customization. Lo and behold, there wasn't. And I had I was a teacher, by the way, at the time, and I had an epiphany one day in my class during my prep. Well, geez, if someone doesn't have a game like that, why don't I do it myself with no experience at all, except for playing stuff? And a mobile game is really the genesis of the idea. It was to kind of take like the X-Wing movement and combat system, but translate that to mechs, because that's what I like, and to try and do that on a mobile phone. Do that with a secondary education degree. Good luck. But got a team of programmers together. I got some artists together with no money to pay anybody because I'm a broke ass teacher. And somehow we actually got like an alpha build of this game working, where you could move the units around. It was free movement, kind of like, I don't know, like a tactical game, but without like the grid or something, you could say. That was the first Kickstarter. We just needed money to keep, I had taken it as far as I could go with no funding. Fell flat on its face, go figure. And disaster. But we had these assets, like we had these mech designs, we had like the world, and just, kind of, a little bummed that it didn't do as well as I thought it would, but again, knew nothing about the platform or Kickstarter at the time. And a couple of years later, in COVID, everything shut down. And I always want to do something with those assets. Well, wait a minute, you have this bones of a game. Why not just make it a card game, which big Magic player these days, a lot simpler to make than trying to program a mobile game. And you know those things very well. That should be a lot easier. And so that's kind of where Redline today comes from. It's the ashes of this mobile game far out fantasy I had a long time ago. Go figure.
That is cool. So the first game being a digital attempt, when you went and then brought it more into like a tactile, no pun intended, version of this game, was then the next campaign, was that successful as well, or?
Yeah, so we made our Redline core set. It's got everything you need for two players to play. A lot of the art we had from the mobile game just easily translated over to cards. A lot of the ideas we wanted translated over into cards. So it was a much better idea. I wish I had that first. But it did fun. It was successful. And then we just recently sold out of our first production run of the core set. So that was back in like 2020 when we did our first campaign. And so we're looking to do our second printing coming up very soon. So exciting.
So, and then how many so when you say we, like, and I see some people in on your Kickstarter page too that are kind of, I think, part of your team. So, like, how big is your team that you've kind of put together to bring this vision to the world?
Small. So as an indie game designer, you wear a lot of hats. And so I have a closet full of them behind me here. So I do a lot of the work with the marketing, design, world building, website, all that stuff. Luckily, and I don't know how I luck sacked into this, but our mech designer is a gentleman named Stephen Huda, who actually worked for Catalyst Game Labs and Iron Wind Metals on Battle Tech. And I'm a bit bougie when it comes to my mecha. So like you kind of mentioned before, I'm not into like the anime and the Gundam and this, like I want big, chonky, stompy boys. And to get him to come and do our art and make our designs was immensely been, just such a blessing, because everything are again, I think that's important. Like a mech game looks and feels a certain way, and like our mechs look awesome. We call them a freaks, a little bit different, but they look really good because we literally have a professional mech designer who's making all of them for us. So it's you can't do any better.
And why a free? Like, why that? Is there, like, was there a trademark issue with these saying mech or what?
I mean, every Met property worth its salt has a different name for their mechs. You know that, right? You got your Gundams, your battle mechs, Zords, Pat Labors, whatever. So, like, that was one of the first things. Like, if we're gonna do our own thing, we want to have our own unique name. So, probably took a couple days, maybe a week, just going through a list, spitballing, coming up with something that would be cool. Settled on Ifrit for a couple of reasons. It's a mythological demon from the Middle East, of course, right? So that's really cool. These are like, metal demons. Like, that's awesome. But the name also reminded me, if the cartoon, you might be familiar, Exo Squad back in the 90s, they're running around like kind of mechie power armor called E-Frames, which I liked also growing up. And so E-Free was kind of like an homage or a playoff of those kind of wording. So it just, it's right, because once you hit on something, like, it just sticks. It sounds right. So Ifrit is what we came up with, and it's unique. It sounds really cool, and it's got some, there's some story lore behind it too. But that's kind of where the genesis came from.
Now, are you still a teacher, or like have you moved over to this full time, or?
No, I got laid off from COVID, thank
Oh,
goodness.
wow.
So, yeah, no, but I've been trying to leave for a while, and did some remote teaching. And then let go. So, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, COVID had such an impact on the world. And I, anytime you see something where people are like, wow, I was impacted by COVID, a lot of people are actually impacted, I think, in a positive way, right? Where it
Oh,
helped
yeah.
them really kind of take a pause on their life and say, wait a second, is this the path I should be on, right? Am I following passions, the things that I love to do? And the number of people I've talked to in the board game industry that said, this is something I always wanted to do. I just never really kind of sat down and kind of put the time to it. And quite frankly, during COVID, I had time, right? Everyone was stuck in their houses and man, I was able to put pen to paper and I was able to crank out some ideas quick. And many of those people have now gone kind of full time into the board game industry and kind of following their passions. And so it's kind of cool to hear that, it's, obviously unfortunate when you hear someone, getting laid off during COVID. But this, I'm sure, afforded you to kind of follow this passion of yours, right? And kind of put everything you had into this, into Redline.
It's not often that life gives you like a 6 month pause button, right? But no, 100%. Like, I couldn't hang out with my gaming group, so that was perfect time to work on this when you have a lot of solitude. So, and it took a lot of time to do, so I used it all.
Is there ever any thought to go, and we're going to get into the game in a second, I promise, but I'm just
That's all right.
curious. Is there been any thought to go back and do the digital version of this game, kind of pick up where you guys left off before, or is that now put to bed and now you're going down the tactical card path kind of going forward?
Our players bring it up every time. I don't mention it often. It was so long ago. I mean, that was all 2016 is when we first started that, maybe. So it's been almost like a decade, which seems crazy. But they'll ask, like, oh, wow, when they kind of see some of the assets we had and the alpha footage. Like, any chance? And, no, I mean, maybe another 10 years from now, we'll see. Like, that'd be super cool to go full circle, right? But in the immediate, future? No, it's not happening.
Well, certainly the assets are cool, and I'm going to show the page here in a second, kind of as we talk. For those that don't know about Redline, I will get you to kind of explain the game in a second as well. But you've made this decision to kind of go kind of full steam into the Kickstarters. And again, I applaud you for kind of, dusting yourself off and saying, hey, we're going to come at this from a different angle. I just really admire when I've talked to guests that have done that. And it's not your first kind of trip to the rodeo, so to speak, right? So you guys have had a couple campaigns you've done since. How many campaigns have you done in total now?
So our current one for our third expansion
Third expansion,
is called Redline Payday. So we have the core set, two prior expansions. This is the third. And that was important because we built it as an expandable card game. And you need to continue supporting it and adding to it. Otherwise, it's kind of like, you don't, it's a dead game on arrival if you can't support it. And so we're excited that we've been able to do so. And the new expansion we'll get into is really super cool for a lot of reasons. But yeah, we've been adding to the game since launch, and that was always the intention. So falling on our promise.
All right, so walk us through kind of how you play this game. So it's a tactical card-based game. I do have it on screen. I'm sharing it for people to see. First
Sure.
of all, the design of the mech just looks super cool. I mean,
Yeah,
this is what
I
pulled me
told
when
you.
I was
Yeah.
surfing the Kickstarters. I stopped dead in my tracks when I saw this. I'm like, oh man, this looks awesome. So walk me through this game.
So if you're familiar with playing card games, then you know the basics. You got your deck you can build and customize, you draw, you deploy resources, and so like the again, Magic is a big part of me these days. So if you could play Magic, you probably got 80% of this game already. But what's different really is the combat. So Magic or a lot of card games are kind of like trench warfare in that you're going in one direction, predictable every turn. You and your opponent just trading attacks back and forth, right? It's static, it's one direction, that's it. Redline is not that way. So combat is fought over have a mission deck. So when I played growing BattleTech growing up, one of our favorite things to do on a Friday night was grab some random paper maps, throw them together, and that's what we would fight on. So kind of like a random terrain, you could say. And so that's part of the game here is you draw five cards off the mission deck. That creates the map that you're fighting on for the game. The goal is to control all five of those mission zones. But instead of being trench warfare, Redline is like Blitzkrieg in that you have hidden dials, each one assigned to one of these five missions. And so you're planning your attacks the same time your opponent is during the pre-combat step. So are you going to send all your forces straight up the middle? Are you going to go and attack the flanks, right? Are you going to maybe hold back? Your opponent is doing the same thing. What is he going to do, and how can I counter that? So there's a maneuver element in there. It's entirely possible to have combat where you just are ships in the night and you totally miss each other, or you can set up ambushes, and maybe if you get overwhelmed, you retreat. So there's a lot of movement and guessing in Redline. And so the cards are just like, the miniatures you might have in like a war game, but you build up your forces by drawing and deploying cards off your deck. But with combat, there's the maneuver. You have to roll dice to do your shots, just like you would like playing a tabletop game. So it really is kind of a fusion of those two elements, in the best way possible.
So these when you say you're drafting kind of the mission cards, like are they physically a map? The cards kind of connect together to make a map, or is it more just to kind of say like this is where you're going on the map?
So they got red borders. They're in between players. It's the literal thin red line between opposing armies, like you would see on like a battlefield map. And so you're fighting for control of that middle ground, that red line. So they're just in a row, numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so you just dial in. This guy's going to attack number two. This guy's going to mission five. And so that's where the maneuver comes in, where you spread your forces out. If you happen to bump into somebody, you throw down, you roll your dice, and hopefully you come out on top.
So
But
you
that's
can
just
kind
one
of
round,
So
and
you
they do it
can
again
like
next
try to
turn.
finish a mission and it could be you're the only one actually going after that mission. Are you like rolling on these missions too? So is it the same thing where you have an objective and you're rolling against
Exactly. So there's different weight classes of Ifrits. We have light, medium, and heavy. That's it. And each, the heavier it is, the better it is at capturing ground. So the more important missions, they're going to have more units needed to secure them. It's not guaranteed just because you won the engagement or because you're the only one there that you're going to walk away with ownership, right? You can still win the battle, but fail the mission. And so, yeah, you do have to roll to capture it. Capturing missions is beneficial because it will often grant bonuses to you that are static. But you got to defend it because your opponent can come back and try and take it out from under you if you can't defend what you hold on to. So there's a lot of kind of give and take and anticipation as you play. It's super fun. People love the guessing. It's, I don't know, maybe like poker a little bit, right? You're holding your cards back and you're trying to read your opponent and anticipating again where they're going and how you're going to counter that and their strengths and your weaknesses. It's a different element you don't see often. Warhammer had Warhammer Conquest, I think, had a very similar play style. If you're familiar with how that kind of worked, Redline's going to be the closest to that one.
And then so your end game win condition, is it achieving a number of the objectives? Is it eliminating the other player, or how does that?
Yeah, so if you control all five missions, then you end up winning because you control the red line. Your deck is kind of your life, so it's your resources, and so your deck can take damage if you run out of resources, logistics. You can't keep fighting anymore, so you will lose. War of attrition. And there's a couple cards that are like alternate win conditions as well. And so there's a couple different ways to play the game or to win.
And then these dials, I haven't seen these yet. Is this something you guys kind of came up with, these kind of circular dials that you kind of, I guess, you adjust it to what kind of what your attack is going to be, I guess, and then you simultaneously flip them over?
Stolen from X-Wing.
Yeah.
No, those are the exact same type of dials that the X-Wing game has, except those have maneuvers on them.
Yeah.
And we just have like a number system. But same thing, you're putting them face down the same time your opponent is. And then you both flip them up same time. And then you carry out your order. So there's a little bit of that. Again, X-Wing was the inspiration for the mobile game early back in the day. So a little bit of carryover with that.
That's cool. And then in terms of the ex like the ex this particular expansion, what does this bring that's different than the prior games?
Yeah, so Redline Payday is our new expansion, and it is our biggest and best expansion yet. Legitimately, it's adding two new factions to the game. So when we started, we want to make sure we started sustainably. So the game only supported two factions originally. We have the United Nations of Earth, the Earth-based deck, and the Crimson Pact of Mars. And so those were the only two factions we had for the core set and the first two. But we always had intention to add two other factions to the game. We just wanted to wait till we had the time we felt that we could support it. We had grown enough and the game was big enough. So we're adding now the Mercenary faction and Industrial Corporations. And they have different play styles. We've been sitting on a lot of design space in our previous games, saving these for the new faction. So they play in an entirely different way. The industrial faction has physical combat. So these are like mining efreets with power tools. And so you can go up and like punch somebody in the face, and it's going to really jack them up if you can connect. And then they do a lot of mining for a new resource called ore. They extract, rare earth ores out of the ground, and they use that to power a lot of their special abilities. The mercenaries have bounties. So these are like debuffs that you can put on enemy units. And they get a wanted status. And if you're wanted, you get bonuses if you can track them down and bring them in. If you
That's cool.
do, there are rewards as well. So you can draw extra cards if you bring in the bounty, you can get some extra resources, you can repair some units. And so their gameplay is really based, and they're mercenaries, so they reuse a lot of resources, like salvage and taking enemy leftover salvage and repurposing it. So they have a lot of like graveyard interactions, and then they have that bounty mechanic where they're tracking people down and getting paid off.
How's the salvage work? So are you, is it like a deck that you're pulling a salvage from, or you've physically taken from the other player when you attack them, or?
No, so you just are taking cards from your graveyard or the enemies, and then you can just bring those back to the battlefield. Sometimes it might be a little more dinged up than others, but basically, scrappy mercenaries kind of using what they have available to them, so just kind of like a hodgepodge, piecemeal kind of army is the feel of that. But just pulling whatever you can that's still functional and
Yeah, that's
usable.
cool. And this
Yeah.
play, so you can have more than two people play at the same time?
Yes, so the game was built to be one-on-one and have a tight one-on-one experience. But we do have a multiplayer format called Redline Scramble. And this is a little bit different in that it's still, your combat simultaneous. But before in Redline, when you capture a mission, you put like a little marker on it. It's there, it's yours, it's stagnant. In Scramble, you take it off of the Redline, you add it to your base. And then you replace it with a new card from the mission deck. So it's a race to, I think, like 20 points, control points, because each mission has different control values. It's a race to amass 20 control points on your side, but the red line is always being replenished and ever changing. So, scramble is the right word for it, because it's a land grab. You're trying to gobble up as many missions as you can, while your opponents are doing the same thing. And if someone gets a good mission, well, maybe it's replaced by something better next time. So it's a lot of What's the word I'm looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? When
Yeah,
it's
I don't know.
unexpected, or I don't want to say
I
random, or
got you. Okay,
chaotic.
yeah.
There we go. It's very chaotic because things change all the time, and you got your alliances, and there's a little bit of politics involved, but it's super fun.
That is cool. How many, like, do you envision this getting to a point where you can have like a battle royale where you can have like four or five, six players even fighting each other at some point?
Possibly, but here's the thing. I'm gonna dial it back a little bit, right? Like just the mechanics of having everyone have their own little dials and then having to roll for, like, you don't want the game to get super clunky where, I don't want one turn maybe taking like an hour because you
Yeah.
have so many little independent moving pieces. So we want to have a tight game experience. We want to play quickly. And if you're just adding a lot more complexity, it could potentially get pretty grindy and
Yeah.
gum things up. If you're a sadomasochist and you like that type of play, which some people do, right? I've been there and done that. I mean, there's
Yeah.
no reason you couldn't, but you're just going to have some very, very long turns just trying to, get everything to play out. So not three is kind of the sweet spot when it comes to
Is the
players.
ideal is the sweet spot, right? And then where, like, is there other expansions you've already mapped out, or like where do you go from here? Like, what's kind of the next that kind of comes after this?
I haven't told anybody this. It's secret information. But yeah, we probably have the next, I'd say, two or three expansions kind of mapped out. I don't want to announce anything yet because it wouldn't be official.
Yeah.
But we have the next three expansions are going to be crazy is kind of generic, but it's going to open up definitely new ways of playing, explore more parts of the game universe, and add a lot of different gameplay mechanics. Probably, I know one probably not going to be very expected from players, but it's the one I'm like the most excited about, to be as
So it's
cryptic as
taking it kind of
possible.
beyond the current, staying within the universe, but finding other mechanical ways to kind of approach the battles in kind of different ways and different iterations. Is that fair to say without giving away too much?
So I'll say this here. So we have a lot of like fan designed units in the game
Oh,
where
that's
like
cool.
our community was able to work with our designer and like make some of their mechs and get them into the game. So one of the very first ones was the best way I can describe it's called the Wind Shark if you want to look it up. It looks like a 1930s Prohibition race car with legs. Like it's got the fenders and kind of like chrome bumpers. But this player, he envisioned it. It was kind of like like an old race. It was kind of like a race car mech, right? And I was like, oh, what a great idea that would be. Like, you got Fast and Furious with people hot rodding their cars. Well, in the red line, what if people are like hot rodding their freaks and doing like street races? But because they're
Yeah.
mechs, you could be doing like, mech parkour, like jumping over semis and like leaping over bridges. Like, oh, that'd be hella awesome. So that's kind of a part of the game world now because this
Yeah.
player brought his idea into the game. And I will say that the next expansion might possibly have more racing in it than players might expect in a combat game.
Oh,
So
that's cool. And then
I'll
I
say
didn't
that.
even talk about the minis yet, but the minis you have in this game look
Oh,
super cool. So are
I
those
gotta
more
send it.
just for your, are they like act as like your markers, or how do they fit in?
They have no use in the game at all. Like I said, our designer worked for Iron Wind Metals, who
Mm.
made a lot of miniatures for Battletech. So this is just the way he works. He designs in 3D. All of our units are already 3D models originally. So for him just to throw a little hex base on it and then offer it like as a free, not a free, but like an additional little perk or add-on for players,
Yeah.
super cool. They are Battletech scale, and a lot of players I know like to use them as proxies for like mercs or pirates or their own custom units. And
Yeah.
so we offer them because it doesn't really cost us very much at all to do so, but it's a super cool add-on to have again. The mechs look amazing. So to
Oh,
have
they look
miniatures
awesome.
of them as
I can just
well.
imagine people painting those too, right? Like,
Yeah.
oh,
Like,
yeah.
so again, I don't know how well it shows up on the camera here, but like Super cool just
Yeah.
to kind of see, you know, your game asset is like a 3D model here. And yeah, so those are offered as well. We got quite a bunch of them too.
Oh, it looks amazing. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that congrats on the funding. You're I'm gonna put this in Canadian dollars, it's the only way I can see it, but you're already
Sure.
almost at 20,000 Canadian on a $9,500 goal. This is already tracking way ahead of your prior campaigns where they finished, and this one's literally just started. So I'm sure you guys are gonna be pleased where this thing ends up. For those who want to check this out themselves, I'm going to put a link in the show notes so they can easily find it. So if you're listening to this on the audio podcast or you're watching it on the video replay, check out the show notes. I'll have a link straight to the Kickstarter page. Or if you go to Kickstarter and just type in Redline, you can check out the page there. And I'm sure people will be excited to see what they have. Cameron, I want to wish you all the best on this campaign. I can't wait to see where it ends. And I want to wish you all the best in this coming year.
James, super fun. Thanks for the opportunity, and always like to nerd out with other gamers, so appreciate it.
No worries, my friend. You take care. Cheers.
Hey, have a good one. See you.
This has been an episode of the Board Game Binge Podcast, hosted by James Staley, produced by James Staley and Mike Bruner, with original music by Nick Smith. If you would like to watch these interviews live, simply subscribe to our YouTube channel, Board Game Binge, and you'll get access to live interviews, giveaways, and interesting board game content from across the industry. I can't wait for you to join us. See you next time.